What a mighty God our Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God.
What a mighty God
Jesus is. Amen. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Amen. Before we go any further, let me read you a couple of testimonies. It'll just be a blessing to you this morning. This is my name is Keith Phillips, and I'm healed. The end. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Joanne Tessa. God bless you, Sister Joanne. She wants to thank the church for their love and their prayers. She's so happy to be back in the house of the Lord. She has been healed of pneumonia twice. And also, after prayer was offered on Wednesday night, no oxygen is needed, and she is back to praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is.
Heaven and earth,
glory,
they adore Him.
What a mighty God,
Jesus.
You will just remain standing for just a minute. We don't have that many prayer requests this morning. Brother Daniel, you'd get ready to come lead us to the Lord. Brother Nathan Miller from Florida wants to thank the church for their prayers. He's doing much better. Somebody say praise the Lord. My aunt Linda Kennedy has a need in her body. We'll just commit that to the Lord. I want to pray for an unspoken prayer request for Ann Little. The Lord knows all about that need. We'll just commit it unto the Lord. Brother Jackie, Sister Betty Roberts says, please remember our granddaughter Tori in prayer this Wednesday as she flies to Hawaii to spend Christmas with her family. So let's remember that prayer request today. My brother Carter Lawson has an unspoken prayer request. We'll commit that to the Lord. Sister Maria Sponcia says, greetings from Sister Anna Shipley. She will be going home from rehab on Tuesday. She will be going to her daughter's home for a while. She will also continue her home therapy while she's there. Thank you for your prayers. Continue to remember her in your prayers. May the Lord bless. Sister Joy Keith sends this in. My mother died 1 year ago today. It's been very hard for me this Christmas, and I have been fighting depression. Also, my dog Sarah Jane was on December the 2nd, was lost on December the 2nd. It has been a horrible heartache for us. Please pray for me. I need help fighting the battle. So we just commit that unto the Lord. God's able to comfort their hearts and bring that little lost puppy back home, isn't he? Amen. Brother Moyer says, please remember us in prayer. My wife needs healing in her body. Remember us about a court date. No weapons formed against us will prosper. I pray that we get our daughters back. We are being sent for a psychological evaluation ordered by the court the fifth or the sixth time around. Pray that all goes well. God's hand will be involved. So we just commit that unto the Lord as we pray today. God's able to meet those needs. We just commit all these things unto the Lord. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Brother Daniel, if you'll come at this time, we'll just join you in prayer as you lead us to the Lord. Love this brother right here, don't we? Amen, buddy. God bless you.
Amen. I read a story about a month ago, and I thought, boy, I'd love to tell that sometime. But trying to remember it, it told about a man that was living in a foreign country. He went to his preacher one day, and he said, preacher, he said, I'm having a terrible time. He said, we got 9 people living in one room. And he said, they about to drive me crazy. What can I do? And the preacher said, well, I might be able to help you. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, you got some goats at your house. He said, take one of those goats and move it into the room with you. And the guy said, are you sure? And he said, do like I tell you. So the preacher took the goat, or the man took the goat, put it in the room with them. And after about a week, the preacher saw him again. He said, how's things going? He said, preacher, it's terrible. He said, that goat is eating everything up. It's messing and everything. He said, what can I do? The preacher said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, let the goat out. And after about a week, the preacher saw the man again. He said, well, how's everything going? He said, preacher, it's going great. He said, me and the 9 people living in the room, we're getting along great. So the moral to the story is, if you want to have peace and tranquility in your home, put the goat out. Put the goat out and let Jesus Christ come in. Amen. Let's pray for these requests. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in this service again today. God, how good you are to us, Lord Jesus. Well, keep us all these many years. Oh, God, as we come together today to worship you, I pray, God, that you'll help us to put everything out of our mind that's not like you. And God, that your holy presence just move among these people. Heavenly Father, we pray for our needs and our requests. God, you hear them today. And I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you'll move for every one of them. God, the one that lost the ammo, I pray, God, that you'll take and bring it back home or whatever. God, those that got sadness in their heart, God, we know it's a rough time for them. But Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll fill that vacancy down in their heart. God, we pray that you bless Brother Donnie today. Bless this service, Lord Jesus. God, we pray that you have complete control. Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service, and we certainly have some folks visiting today, we're glad to have you here. Trust you'll enjoy the service. Those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make just a few announcements before we sing our song this morning. The new church directory is available for you over in the library. If you haven't got one yet, you can pick one of those up. The new church directory, also a Christmas card from Brother Donnie and Sister Carol. That's available for you over in the library. If you haven't got those yet, you might want to pick one of those up. They have those for you over there. And this evening at 5:45, that's a quarter to six, that's 15 minutes till six, there's going to be a great program here at the church. The youth are getting ready to worked so hard and they have done so good. And you all are invited to be here this evening at 5:45 for a great Christmas program presented by the youth and the young people and the children. I don't know who all is involved, but I know there's been a lot of work, a lot of effort put into it. And there will be a reception that will follow that program. So if you can be here this afternoon, you are invited. Brother Charlie, we want you to be here if you can be here. Take part in this youth program with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let me make this other announcement. We're going to sing a song. This is from Brother Sam, Sister Laura Wyco. Dear Happy Valley Church, we would like to sincerely thank each and every one of you who helped make Rachel and Levi's wedding so special and beautiful. The amazing blending of talents in every phase, from all of the preparations to final cleanup, was such a blessing to us. Your labor of love and sacrifice is so much appreciated. It humbles our hearts to know that we have such a sweet and caring church family. You are all so loved and appreciated beyond words. Love, Brother Sam, Sister Laura Wyco, and we kind of thank a little bit of you folks too. Praise the Lord. Give them a nice hand this morning.
Give up and let Jesus take over.
We'll give up and let Jesus. Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. Give up and let Jesus take over. Couple of specials this morning as you're seated. Brother Brandon, if you come, get ready to sing for us. Sister Caitlin, if you come onto the platform, sing after Brother Brandon sings this morning. We'll go right on into the service. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you. Let's sing a little bit more of that while they're coming. Let's sing just a little bit more of that song while they're coming to get ready. Give up and let Jesus take over. Take over. Give up and let Jesus take over, and He'll make a way for you. Church, give up and let Jesus Sisters, y'all want to go ahead and sing while Brother Brandon be getting ready this morning. Give them one more hand as they get ready to sing for you.
Sometimes I think I'm in control, and I act so foolishly, facing things on my own. I don't know what's best for me. My mistakes at times disturb all the plans that you have made. so I won't be in your way. So put me where you want to, not where I want to be. And if I should ask for things, just a glove into which you place your hand. Not my will, but yours be done. Though I don't understand the best laid plans I've made.
I'm not leaving until this place is overtaken by the power of your name. Breathe on us, Lord, once again. Rain on me, pour out your spirit. I'm waiting here in anticipation, 'cause it's a season of power, a season of purpose and change. I want you to come fill this place. Show me your face. I'm not leaving until this place is overtaken by the power of your name. Breathe on us, Lord, once again. Rain on me. Pour out your spirit. I'm waiting here in anticipation, 'cause it's a season of power, a season of purpose and change. I want you to come fill this place. Another day has come and gone, yet your love remains the same. I can barely see the sun for all the storm clouds and rain. I know just what you're going through. I've been down that road before. So I'm begging for you, Jesus, to open the door. Show me your face. I'm not leaving until this place is overtaken by the power of your name. Breathe on us, Lord, once again. Rain on me. Pour out your spirit. I'm waiting here in anticipation, cause it's a season of power, a season of purpose and change. I want you to come fill this place. Another day has come and gone, yet your love remains the same. I can barely see the sun for all the storm clouds and rain. I know just what you're going through. I've been down that road before. So I'm asking for you, Jesus, to open the door. Show me your face. I'm not leaving until this place is overtaken by the power of your name. Breathe on us, Lord, once again. On me, pour out your spirit. I'm waiting here in anticipation, cause it's a season of power, a season of purpose and change. I want you to come fill this place. Rain me, new place is overtaken by the power of your name. Breathe on us, Lord, once again. Rain on me, pour out your spirit. I'm waiting here in anticipation, cause it's a season of power, a season of purpose and change. I want you to come fill this place.
If he'll come and do that, we'll be a changed people when we leave today. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema of God. As a Christian, God has given to us all this great protective armor, but we must allow it to be able to work in our lives. No matter how much God wants us to be overcomers, if our desire and zeal does not match His, we'll just be puny, weak Christians. I desire to be an overcomer, don't you? Amen. How many like to be remembered today before the Lord in prayer? Let's just ask God's blessing on the word. Fathers, we've gathered here today, and once again, we want to say thank you for the opportunity that we have, Lord. We realize, Lord Jesus, the shadows are drawing long and the darkness is pressing. Maybe just a few more settings of the sun until the Gentile days will be finished. We know, Lord, that the events are moving around the world in politics, and Lord, even the earthquakes and things that are happening around the world, and especially in our portion of the world and on the ring of fire, as they call it, just in the last 30 days, more and more events happening. And the seismologists and scientists saying that the San Andreas could unzip. And when it does, Lord, we know what catastrophic things will happen. Lord, we desire to be ready. Heavenly Father, we're not looking for the earthquake or this president or this ambassador. But Lord Jesus, we want to be ready because we love you, not because of fear. We want to be ready every day of our life because none of us have a promise that we'll live to tomorrow. So I ask that you'd help us, Lord. Father, you saw the needs of the people represented by hand uplifted. Pray that you'd be mindful of us. Lord, as I preach at this prayer call today, I'm asking you for our brother Fred here, the as he's needing his body and his back, Lord, and suffers tremendously. We're believing you, Father, that your anointing would just go with us and bring complete deliverance. Speak to us today by your word, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's look back, if you would, at verse 11 here in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the word wiles is lie in wait, cunning arts, deceit, craft, and trickery. If that doesn't describe the very means by which Satan tries to work on the people of God. Isn't it amazing that even though we would be born again and have the Spirit of God living in us, but we must always be watchful and be aware because we have this cunning, deceitful enemy that's watching every day of our lives. If we are covered with this type of armament and this much armor, then how in the world would Satan ever be able to have access to us? He's constantly watching for the one little spot that you and I would leave uncovered. Whether it would be negligence on our part or lack of responsibility in doing everything that the Lord has told us to do. Or sometimes, we just be honest, as Christians we become lazy and we don't do the things that the Lord tells us that we should do. We know we should do this and this and this, and sometimes we just get busy and we're living in a Laodicean, cold, non-feeling age, and we can become that way as far as Christians are concerned. Not that we want to go to drinking and go out running around in the world and doing all that sort of thing, but we can just lose our zeal and our determination to serve God with fervency and great passion. And Satan watches for that very thing. And remember, he's got plenty of time. He's been doing this now for 6,000 years when it comes to dealing with human beings and fighting tremendous battles. So he's learned, if you can't do it on Monday, try Tuesday. If you can't do it on Tuesday, try Wednesday. And so on and so on and so on. If you cannot do it in November, try December. If December don't work, try January, on up through the end of the year. And he just keeps on going it, waiting for you and I to give one little tiny spot. And you see, armament as great as it is, and armor of a Christian is much of the same way, that much of this would overlap and the helmet would come down. But yet, there's a space that is not covered between your helmet and where your breastplate is going to be. So you've got this element right here that is totally exposed. This is why, of course, that you have the shield of faith. So no matter how much armament there will be, you still have the capability of being able to move. So there's always a little spot. That's all the devil needs. He don't need a whole great big spot like that. All he needs is one little tiny spot by which he's able to attack you with. And he watches us day by day by day. And very well, I'm convinced that he knows us much better than we know him. He studied us since we were children. Once he saw God exert the first display of divine favor towards your life, that gave him the recognition or the warning that you were apparently chosen by God. So he studied all your weaknesses, all that you inherited from your mother and father, all the traits that you got, and all the things that happened to you even when you were a child, which made you more vulnerable for certain things. And we know that even as human beings with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we live so much of our life in the struggle against the war against the flesh. And the flesh is the very thing that gets us in so much trouble anyway. And Paul warned the believers, notice how he says it, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he goes into great detail. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. blood, but against principalities. Now notice how he says this, that it is as if though it is a wrestling match. So it's not something that's very mannerly. It's not something that you're going to be able to just speak, you know, nonchalant to the devil. Good afternoon, devil. How are you today? I'm doing well. Just to let you know, I'm not going to fall for your trap today. You know, this is the way it is. I'm a Christian. You're the devil. You're going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Goodbye. I'll speak to you again about 6 months from now. He wants to let you know this is going to be something you're going to wrestle. You will wrestle with your emotions. You'll wrestle with your passions. You'll wrestle with your desires. You'll wrestle with your mind. You'll wrestle with your intellect. The way that a person being able to wrestle with an opponent was that they would study that opponent. So for those of you that know anything much about wrestling profession, know that they would study the individual that they're going to wrestle. And they would have what they would call, even in the boxing world, a sparring partner. So that partner, if their opponent that they were going to meet in this great feat was a left-handed man, then they would want a sparring opponent which would be left-handed. And he would know the jab of the left hand and how he would do the undercut and how he would do this and that, so that they would be able to fight this fighter in a better way. What good would it do if you're going to fight a man that's left-handed and your sparring partner is right-handed? Then whenever you get in there, guess what? You're going to start seeing stars in about 3 seconds after the bell rings, because you've not properly fought and taught to know how to be able to meet your enemy. Now here Paul then likens the warfare that we are in like to a wrestle. Look at the meaning of this word. It is a wrestling or a contest between two, and when in which each endeavors to throw the other, and which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hand upon his neck. The term is transferred to the Christian struggle with the power of evil. Now he says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So we are in this wrestling match to where it is you and the powers of darkness. It is you and demon spirits. And remember, they are eons of ages old as far as time would measure them. They have fought against Noah. The very spirits we are dealing with today were the spirits that were in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the same spirits that was previous of the Antediluvian destruction. They was in the days of Noah. These are the same spirits that pulled away from the providence of God and started a revolt and went over into the north side of heaven, and they followed this bright star Lucifer, and they know exactly what they are doing. They have fought against Daniel. They have fought against Jeremiah. They fought against the children of Israel, and for many of them, they defeated them. For many of us, the things, if you're born with a temper, you are fighting some of the same devils that Moses fought in his day, except Moses just succumbed to it. But I believe there'll be believers in this day that will not. There will be people that will overcome these same demons out of hell that anointed the people in Sodom and Gomorrah when they went after strange flesh and broke the very type of a man desiring a woman to men desiring men and women desiring women. It's the exact same demons that are upon the world today. Come on, don't get quiet on me. I know that's not socially correct, but I'm not concerned about it. I want to be right before God. So we realize that we are wrestling. What do they want? This is not a tag match, or it's tag football, that Satan just kind of touches you and you're out. He will not be satisfied until he has got you down and his hands are upon your neck. He is not playing. He is not looking for popularity. He is out to destroy you. And the only way that he can destroy you is if you will allow him to. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But we must use all the means, of course, that God has given to us. It does not mean that it will not be without struggle. It does not mean that it will not be without hardship and difficulty. And we would just admit the facts that we will fail at times. We will fall short of the glory of God. But a real believer will get right back up again, and they will learn by those things and hopefully be stronger the next time. Now, notice how he brings this in line. Now, we're talking about the Rhema word of God. And this line says,
lines in, of course, to the weapons that God has given you to use as a child of God. For he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And this Greek word, arche, is the beginning or the first. The person or thing that commences. The first person or thing in a series or a leader, the first place. Now, what we are dealing with is actually the arche of the fallen regiment of demon spirits. And they were the ones of the first order. Now, of course, we know that Satan was a bright star there in the presence of God, a great, an adorning angel that God had given to him, great glory and all of that. So he was an original one in the beginning. So he understands much about the nature of God. And he understands, of course, about warfare. So we are not dealing with angels that have just lately come into view. We're not dealing with demons that just hatched out in 2015 and they're about a year old. But we are dealing with the arche, or the preeminent ones who was at the beginning. So they understand worship. They understand music. They understand divinity. They understand humanity. Because they were the arche, or some of the ones that were in the very beginning, and they know exactly how human beings work. Oh my. If it wasn't for the power of God, there's no way you and I could be able to meet it. So he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now remember, they was able to achieve this by Satan taking it away from Adam. Of course, we know that everything in the universe did not fall when Adam fell. Only that which was under Adam's divine control given to him by God. And God gave him the control of the earth, and when the earth fell, then everything therein became contaminated because of what Adam had done. So that loosed Satan in the realm of invisible dimensions, to where the demons would be able to move back and forth. And we know that all demons, of course, move in the realm of visible and invisibility. Most of us could not be able to handle the visible realm. We could not handle seeing them, feeling them, touching them, all that sort of thing. So God, by his grace, keeps most of us away from that. Aren't you glad? But yet we know they are there. Now, even though you may never see a demon, you may never hear a demon's voice, but if you've ever had a disease in your body, then a demon is actually tapped into the realm of your mortality. From the fourth dimension, the demons begin to penetrate, and they come into a bruised cell or something going on in your body, and then they'll begin to afflict you. And then by God's grace, if you come up and you're prayed for, and the Spirit of God, through an authoritative voice of a servant of God, speaks to that evil spirit in that realm of darkness, and that ruler is forced to take loose or be loose from you, and that demon then, of course, will loose you, then the body begins a natural process of healing. So we are dealing with rulers of the darkness of this world. It's not just politics, it's not just sin, but it's every realm of this world around us. We're dealing with them every day. Those thoughts that combat your mind, those things that come against your family, those things that come against our church as a body, that come against you as an individual, you are fighting against a ruler. So they are the arche, or the preeminent ones rather, that was in the beginning when God created all of these great angels. Now friend, you and I know there's no way that we can have such a battle as this and ever be able to expect to win unless there be some type of divine preeminence by the Spirit of God that would endue us with power to do it. How could we ever do such a thing? And God knew that. So God gave you everything you would ever need, not to just survive. God don't want survivors in this day. God wants overcomers. I don't want to survive, Laodicea. I want to overcome. I trust you do as well. Now, notice he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, which is excusia, which is there again is authority, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places. Now, we know this, of course, comes into view whenever Daniel had prayed and had sought God, and the demon had actually stopped the angel of God, which apparently the fallen demon had a hierarchy in the the presence of God in the beginning when he fell, he did not lose that preeminent post. And when the angel of God was sent down to break Daniel his message, this demon which reigned higher actually hindered the angel of God. And the angel could not come down and break through in order to give Daniel his answer. So he warred and he warred and he warred. And then God usurped authority over that demon and sent Michael down. And Gabriel, of course, Gabriel and Michael exceed over them. And he come down and he was able to loose that angel, send him down and bring the message to Daniel. And then he gives Daniel the warning, says, you know, just to let you know, I'm going back and I'm going to fight with the princes of Persia and Grecia. Now here, this demon had already been chosen for the Grecian Empire. Now, of course, it was in the time of Persia, and there was a demon that was reigning over Persia and over this city. So when the angel of God came down to break through to bring the message to Daniel, this demon out of hell was there over that city, and this demon had a hierarchy which was above an angel of God, but had not fallen. Oh my! You imagine what this world would be if it was not for the divine order of God to help us. You'd never get a prayer, sir. You'd never be saved. You'd never be healed if it was not for the power of God to move on your behalf. Now, a demon had already been chosen to anoint the kingdom of Grecia, of course, that was coming into view under Alexander the Great, even though he was not there. You see, each of these demons are sort of like the angels of God. Because of the attributes that they possess, they also influence us in a certain way. And that's why men anointed by the same Holy Ghost will be anointed in the diversity of the Spirit of God. All preachers don't preach exactly the same way. We know that. And God will do that according to the anointing. He'll diversify the gifts. And he done the same thing when he created angels in the beginning. So he made cherubims and zoons and all this in a great order, knowing that they would fall. And when the Spirit of God then anointed Paul, he wanted us to know that we're not fighting the lower ones. We're not fighting those demons, which are the weakest, if we could say it that way, but we are fighting the greatest, the woes that have the most power, those that have an understanding of authority. But not only will we overcome the weak ones, we'll overcome the main ones. Praise God. The Holy Ghost in you don't just empower you to overcome a headache devil, it will empower you to overcome every devil. Every devil, every power that comes against you. Oh my, notice this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Paul again says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. They're not mighty through you. They're not mighty through me. They're mighty through God. Because when you look at it, they look pretty puny, but they're mighty through God. Mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, of course, we need special equipment in order to be able to wage this kind of war, because we are dealing in two aspects of a war. Any of you that have studied warfare know it is the offense and the defense. So God will give us things which are for the offensive, and God will give us things for the defense. God gives us things for our protection, and then he gives us things for our aggressiveness when it is absolutely needed. So our great defensive weapon is the sword. Now, the helmet, most of the time, you're not going to fight with it. Just unless you drop your sword, and it's the last resort, you take it off and throw it at somebody. But for the most part, the helmet is not used to attack your devil, the enemy that's coming against you. So here you are clothed with this. The Greek word is panoply. So you are clothed with this panoply of God, and some of them are for your covering, some of them are for your offense, but the sword is given for your defense. As a matter of fact, it is the only weapon that you have that is actually given for your defense, that you can be able to use it not only to protect yourself, but to be able to slay the devil with it. Oh my, notice this again in Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation, and he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now let me reiterate it to you again, as I said last night, that the sword is the Spirit of God, of course, taking the revealed word to be able to attack the enemy, but the word must must come through your mouth. It is not like the Spirit of God will do all of your fighting and you just sit back in a recliner and drink a glass of good cold tea and sit there and eat a honey bun. But God is actually going to take that sword and speak it out of your mouth. Now, let me explain this to you. Well, sisters, will lay brothers that are not preachers have access to rhema of God? Absolutely. Will they have as much access and need as much as ministry? More than likely not. Even in ministry, there are diversities of how God will give even of His own person according to the need and the gift in a man's ministry. Now, any man that's sensible should have enough sense to know that he's never going to walk with God where Brother Branham did. I know there's some that think they're greater than Brother Branham, but they're not heads and don't need to be preaching anyway. Praise the Lord. There's some feel like they exceed Brother Branham in revelation and this, that, and other. It ain't nothing but a stuffed shirt. Just get away from them. That's right. I do not need to walk with God in the sphere that Brother Branham did. My ministry does not require that. My vocation as a pastor does not require that God deal with me and God send me angels and this and that in the way that He did Brother Branham. I love the supernatural. I love the supernatural. I've had visitations from God since I was just a boy. And I love it when it comes. But I do not expect, nor do I desire, to walk in the capacity as Paul did or maybe other brothers around the message, because I don't need that. You know, and to me, I do not see God wasting heavenly visitations and supernatural on people that is beyond their vocation. It makes no sense to me that God would take a housewife that, you know, she lives her life, she loves the Word, she serves her husband, her family well, and God would just constantly giving her dreams and visions and visitations and dreams and interpretations of tongues and over and over and over again. I mean, unless there's something about making a cake that I don't understand. I don't understand why you'd need a vision to be able to bake a cake. So sisters, don't feel bad because you do not have those things. You don't need those things. You do not need those things. Let me say it to you this way. It's the same way with brothers. You know, you see a person, an individual, that's constant. Well, God told me this and God told me that. And they're all the time having all kinds of supernatural things that come to them. And yet they have no outlet by which God is using that. It makes no sense to me. That is totally unscriptural. God never showed Moses a great big bunch of things before he got into his vocation. God showed Brother Branham a very few things when he was a child, but most of those things began to explode after the gift was being used for the divine purpose. For God to use this person, show them this and that and the other, and they're doing absolutely nothing for God, it makes no sense. It breaks the continuity of the way that God does. God will deal with people, of course, and then as they get into the position of what God wants them to be, then it will further up, open up more and more and more. But people that all the time has this great thing and that great thing and some other thing, there's something wrong. Praise the Lord. Now let me say this to you. Most of you will more than likely hear most of your rhema words from God from the pulpit. Now that's not to say that if you are in a dire strait and in a real need on your job, in your home, or whatever more, that God cannot give you, right there on the occasion, a rhema word from God. But think about it for most of you. No doubt it's happened to all of you as being Christians, that you've had something from deep within you and it began to blast out the Word of God and it helped you. But for the most part, most of us would probably agree that most of our rhema words have come from God as the Word was being preached, and we might not have even needed it right then, but God was giving you the armament for next Tuesday. God was giving you that Word. Oh, hallelujah. God was giving you that Word for week after next. And when you need it, it's there. Why? Because God wants you to be able to fight the devil. Now watch, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is, look at it with me, Rhema. That which is or has been uttered by the living voice. Things spoken, speech, discourse, what one has said, a declaration of one's mind in words. So what is a rhema? It's God's will for you. A rhema from God will help you not marry the wrong man. A rhema from God will keep you from marrying the wrong girl. That's why some of y'all married the wrong one. You didn't listen. God may have spoke to you in the pulpit. Or God may have said something to you and you overwrote it. Listen, friend, we better listen to God. A rhema word from God will keep you from joining partnership with a crook. Rhema word of God will help your brothers in your business if you'll only listen. If we realize we don't know how to fight these enemies. I love the way Jesus says this in Luke chapter 12, verse 11. When they begin to bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Now what is that? Then that's a rhema word from God. So say, you know, if we are persecuted somehow, or legally we would be brought before the courts or whatever more, and would study and study. Oh, the word says this and the word says that. Jesus said, no. You know, what you need to do is just depend on me. You see, friend, it's so easy for us to rely back on the flesh, on our intellect. And as I said last night, many of us fight the devil the same way we discuss doctrine. So when we differ with a brother on doctrine or issue, boy, the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said, the Bible said, the Bible said, the prophet said, the Bible said, the prophet said, and that's the way you fight the devil. The devil comes against you, well, the Bible said, the prophet said, the Bible said, the prophet said, what are you doing? Auctioneering something? Give me 5, 5, 5, now 10, 10, 10, now 20, 20, 20, 20 from you. What about 30, 30, 30, 35, anybody 45, before we go. So instead of standing there waiting, and the devil's looking at you, said, what's the matter with you? I said, I'm just waiting on him. I got all kinds of quotes and scriptures stored up in my hard drive. I mean my hard head. But I'm just not sure which one I should use. So I'm waiting on him. Should I say this one? Should I say that one? Oh my. But we're so proud, of course. Bless God, we'll flay that devil. Man, I'll draw the sword. Ah, you've got it wrong, you say. The sword is not yours. It is called the sword of the Spirit. You only have it when He gives it to you. Now use Logos, sure, shall we not, Brother Donnie? Absolutely, absolutely. But you only have the sword of the Spirit when the Spirit Himself puts it in your mouth. Oh my. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. So Rhema speaks a specific statement. You see, friends, it does not take a sword that long to kill a man. A small penknife can kill an individual if you know where to put it. So the Holy Ghost might use a little dagger of the word, and it goes straight to the jugular of the devil that's aggravating you. And you argue and debate and fuss, and he's wore you plumb out, and you're wrestling. Oh God, you're a devil, boy. I'm this great big Samoa wrestler. I've been in the message for 47 years. I got muscles that big, legs that big. Man, my tongue is that big around. That I can agree with. Boy, I know so much about your word. Come on, you devil. And the devil just goes, thoop. And the Holy Ghost don't come in as a Samoa who comes in, if I can relate to you this way and won't offend you, as a midget. A little Samson. His shoulders ain't as broad as a barn door. He just grabs hold of one little scripture and goes, and the devil's backed off, and you're saying, man, I was just getting ready to lay it on, and the Holy Ghost says, I've done done it. Just go ahead and shout the victory dance. I've done done it. Lord, I've studied for 6 months for this battle. That's the problem. Our flesh. Listen to me, friends, and don't misunderstand me. Many of you, your flesh loves to fight demons. I know preachers who long for demon-possessed people to come in their churches so they can say they cast out a devil. Well, you can pretty well tell by a man's attitude like that, he ain't never done it yet. Because if he had, he wouldn't want no more showing up. Man, I love fighting the devil. You do? Why would you want to waste all day wrestling and be war slap out at the end of the day when the Holy Ghost can slide that dagger? And you can have peace the rest of the day. And pray and fellowship and thanksgiving. Whew. Oh my. Can I go on? Thank you. I was going to anyway, but it's just much nicer when you all say that. Now, the Logos refers to the total utterance of God. The entire canon of what God has spoken. But in the form of Logos, it does not necessarily reveal the tense of the word. Is that yesterday? Does that apply tomorrow? Does that apply day after tomorrow? You see, when Jesus stands in Luke chapter 4 and he takes the book and he reads Isaiah, he has anointed me to preach the gospel and bring the good tidings. You remember the scripture. Then Jesus, by a rhema word from God, could say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Now that is laid in the word and in the Logos form for hundreds and hundreds of years. But the time had arrived for the tense or the season of the word to be fulfilled. What is it? It is the presence of God illuminating to you what you need for the battle that you're fighting. Don't you love that? Oh my. Notice this again. The rhema does not mean doctrine. A rhema word from God is not doctrine. Now, you may be in a discussion about doctrine, and the Spirit of God may drop something down, but rhema words are not doctrinal. They are not something to help you debate and argue and fuss. It's something about the will of God for what you need. You remember Manoah, whenever he and his wife had been seeking a child from God? And God comes down in the form of an angel and appears to his wife and begins to reveal to her what's going to happen. And she says, stay here. Let me go get my husband. What was that? It was a rhema promise of God. Same thing with Mary. Same thing with you when you need it. Now watch, after Paul describes about the armor, he goes on in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 and says, praying always with all prayer. Now wait a minute. You mean there are different kinds of prayer? Those of you who only use prayer as a means to ask for things are missing out on so much. Prayer is more than a JCPenney catalog request list. Jesus ain't a Santa Claus. Right. Praying always with all prayer. Now notice I said, how in the world can a person pray all the time? How can a person pray always? And then don't just pray always with request, but praying always with all prayer. What kind of prayer? All kinds of prayer. Prayer that that are, as the scripture says, make your requests known. Sure, that's a type of prayer. But then there is a prayer which is supplication. There is a prayer which is intercessory. That is not for you. It's for others. And there is prayer that is thanksgiving. Amen. That you're not asking God for nothing. You're just thanking Him for all that He's already done. Want to be the right kind of soldiers in Laodicea. Some of you might be polished theologians. You might even be able to receive rhema words from God. If you don't know how to pray, you're not going to be able to fight this battle successfully. Prayer is a great component that God has given. Now, it's not so much that it's another piece of armament. It doesn't go on your fingers. It doesn't go on your back somewhere. It is more of a temperament of the divine nature that God puts in you. Prayer. Not too many people have said prayer is only something that they ask. I want this. I want that. I want that. I want that. I want it tomorrow. I want this day after tomorrow. That's not prayer at all. That's heathenism. You're making an idol out of God when you do that. Watch this. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all saints. Now, I hope you can understand this, that our divine energy is tapped through the avenue of prayer. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you Christians even pray? I'm talking about over your food. I'm talking about when you lay down at night. How many of you pray and spend time with God? I'm going to break your tradition. It don't have to always be on these. If you take this literally and pray always, then all the brothers will have to quit their jobs if they got to pray on their knees. Well, I'll have to go on welfare and Social Security. Can you pray working? You can if you know how. Praise the Lord. Can you pray with all prayer and supplication? It is the energy that gives you the ability of God and the perseverance to endure this fight. The sword itself does not grant you perseverance. The helmet does not grant you perseverance. The shield does not, but prayer. Prayer. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. I mentioned this to you last night at the end of the service that when God sends Moses and the children of Israel out against Amalek, there are two components in the battle that we see. And it's reflected, of course, in the Christians' warfare as well. That Moses is up on the mountain praying, interceding, talking to God. Joshua's down in the valley cutting off heads. So you got the sword and prayer, both of them being operated at the same time, but by different components. Now, prayer is, of course, something that you and I do. It is also, of course, it's something the Spirit of God within us can do. Many of you have broken to intercessory prayer to where the Holy Ghost within you begin to pray, whether or not it was in tongues. Sometimes it may be, sometimes it may not. Sometimes it can be, as Paul said, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that word uttered is articulated, which is pronounced with words. So sometimes it will be the groanings of the Spirit. You remember the prophet talking about the woman that was coming to his meeting and she was dying and she broke out in blood and blood started gushing out all over her body and they pulled the car over on the side of the road. Billy came to get him to pray and Brother Bram said it sounded like somebody was speaking in German in the room and they were speaking so fast. You remember the story? So he come out and Billy said, you know, Daddy, what in the world is the matter with you? He said, oh, something. He said, who in the world is that talking that way? My, who was that? And later he tells us it was her angel. It was the Spirit of God coming interceding for that sister. You message folks believe that can still happen? How will it do? It was not the sword of the Spirit. It was not the helmet of salvation. It was not the shield of faith. It was the Holy Ghost in the intercessory realm of prayer. You see, we are priests. Not only is the Lord Jesus priest, He is high priest, but we are after the order of Melchizedek, which puts us into a spot. We have the power and the ability to intercede for our families, to intercede for needs of brothers and sisters. You may not even know why. Myself, when I wake up at all hours of the night and I lay there for a bit and I can't go back to to sleep, I always question, Lord, is there someone you want me to pray for? Lord, is there someone who's got a need? Lord, is there someone who's that really needs prayer right now? You understand? I don't just lay there counting sheep. I lay there praying for them. Lord, friends, I'm not going to beat around the bush today. I am a priest of God. How many here is a priest of God? God hears my prayers. I have confidence. Come on now, don't get all backward and bashful. Oh, Brother Donnie, what if you don't believe me? Ask Jesus. You've seen him hear enough of them, you ought to be able to know. That's not bragging, that's bragging on what he's done. You ought to live such a life that you can say the same thing. God hears my prayers. God hears me when I pray. I am a priest of God. Oh my, prayer is the power for victory. It enables you. Look at the Lord Jesus, how much time he spent in prayer. And it wasn't always, God help me, 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 God help me. I need this, I need that, I need something else. Brother Bram says it this way, and believe in God. If you only knew that in your hand Christ gave us the authority with his name by being Christians, the most powerful weapon the world has ever known. Prayer. I imagine some of our brothers and some of the ladies that's been in the military, if they would be able to tell us of some of the bombs and some of the planes and so on that our military has, it would be astounding to us. It would be astounding. They have never yet broken into anything like a righteous man on his knees praying. What do their weapons do? Destroy and annihilate. What does yours do? Deliver and set free. An atomic bomb can't set folks free. Glory! An atomic bomb cannot break a cigarette devil, but prayer can. Notice again, he says, prayer is the most powerful weapon that was ever put into the hand of mankind. Again, an expectation. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. That's the answer. Prayer changes things. Prayer is the most powerful weapon that was put into the control of human beings. There's no atomic bomb or no hydrogen bomb as powerful as prayer. So if you was the devil, what would you try to keep Christians away from? Arguing, debating, fussing, sports, or prayer? Now, I'm not talking about just closet prayer. Nothing replaces that. I'm not talking about you being alone with God, down on your knees prayer. I'm talking about all prayer. We are going to fight this warfare with all prayer. Intercessory prayer. Amen. Supplication prayer. Thanksgiving prayer. Request prayer. All prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice again, he says, so we believe that prayer is the most powerful weapon that was put in the care. Look at the words that Brother Branham uses. He said prayer was put into the hands of man. Then he says that it was put into the control of human beings. Then he says in the care of human beings. So it's put into your hands. It's put into your control. It's put into your care. Now, it's easy to see by some of the victories that some of y'all are lacking in your life. You're really watching your prayer life. You're guarding it safely and you've got it locked up. I mean, so it's always there and you know exactly where it is. You don't ever use it much, but you're really watching it. It don't do you no good in a safe. It don't do you no good locked up. It's in your care. Use it. But Brother Donnie, I don't know how to pray. Oh, friends, I couldn't tell you the interviews that I've had of people around the world and heard that same thing from message people. I don't know how to talk to God. I don't know how to pray. You know what my answer is? Always the same. Talk to Him the same way you're talking to me. If you can come and talk to me as your pastor, as a friend, and you just sit down and tell me what you're going through, if you don't have to say, oh, blessed Heavenly Father, thee and thou and thou'st and thou'st and thou'st, thou'st and those, and all them great, Jesus never told us to pray that way. Brother Branham never told us to pray that way. It's you opening up your heart and communicating to God with all prayer. But it's as if though, if folks are fighting sex spirits or something that's ungodly and unclean or something like that, they can maybe talk to me about it or talk to a buddy about it. But it's like they're ashamed or somehow they feel they'll defile God's ears if they go to God and say, God, I'm fighting this terrible sex spirit. My battery go dead. Y'all went from this Yahoo type of thing to... You know the best way to talk to God about you fighting a sex spirit is? Tell Him. God, I'm fighting an awful lust devil. Well, some of you ain't going to say amen because you're afraid your wife will think something, huh? Let me go a step farther. It's going to blow some of your wigs off. If some of you young people in our church or older people, homosexuality comes against you, go straight to God with it and say, God, this devil's fighting me. God, I hate this thing. It's contrary to your word. God, deliver me of this spirit of Sodom. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It's an anointing from hell. It is a perversion. Now, as powerful as the sword is, as powerful as the helmet and the shield and all this, yet the most powerful weapon is prayer. You praying and following the leading of the Lord, not only for I want, I need, but prayer to where that you go before God. There's times that when I go before Him and talk to Him, I refuse to ask Him for one thing. Just to love Him. Just to praise Him. And try to recollect of the millions of things that He's done for me. A few to thank Him for it. Just to let Him know I love Him and I worship Him and I adore Him. Friends, we're living in a day when probably the prophecy of this day is that people's going to be unthankful. Some Christians feel like God owes them this and owes them that. God owes you nothing. Everything God gives you is God's grace to you, and you ought to be so thankful. You see, Paul says, praying always. How in the world can anybody pray and work? Well, let me ask you this. How can you work and play football? Fantasy football or baseball or basketball. Or how can you work and check Google or Fox or CNBC or the latest price of gold or silver? Or so what do? You get moments which you have a reprieve from your job, which is not hindering your work. And then you will go toward that. Look, friend, can't you see, as much as a benefit as our smartphones are, they're much more of an addictive agent to many people. Their phone can't go off. They've got to grab it. Even in doctor's lines, please get off your cell phone. Please, when you come in the office, I reckon we're going to have to put one up on the outside of the church. Please turn off your cell phone. People feel their phone going off. It's an automatic reaction. Oh God, Brother Donnie, you'll see me. I sure will. I'll get you if I see you doing it. You're hearing from heaven this morning, not Google. This is not a Fox update. It's more important. I wonder how many missed opportunities during our day that we let go to Fox and CNN and MSNBC and New York Post and here and there and there. And we could say, Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for the services this weekend. I was so blessed, Lord God. Brother Donnie, I thank him at the end of the service. So you're going to thank him at the end of the service for 5 minutes for an eternal wealth of things he gave you. What we heard in this service last night deserves at least 10,000 years of praise. That ain't me. That's his word. For God sending us this message in the last day and sending us a prophet, it deserves praise every day of your life. Every day, there shouldn't be a day go by that you don't thank God for his prophet and the word. Friends, it's not really that complicated. It's not but Brother Donnie, I don't remember it. That little thing you pack around in your pocket or your purse. If most of yours is like mine, it has a calendar on it. And it also has daily reminders. And if you don't have any, I can give you some apps. Remind yourself. Thank God at noon. Thank God at 9. Thank God at 3. Thank God at 6. If you can get an update from Fox, this is more important than Megyn Kelly. This is more important than somebody else on Fox or CNN. If you've got to set yourself up, don't let your phone be smarter than you are. This is prayer life for dummies. You say, what would it do? I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll transform your life. You will find yourself walking with God in a place that you never knew was possible. Those of you that do this already, you know what I'm talking about. When you look for the opportunity and God grants you a minute and a half, or two or three. Or do you think just coming to church once or twice a week is enough? That you don't need to read your Bible at home, you don't need to pray, you don't really need nothing with God. If you don't have a walk with God, you're not going in the rapture. Enoch was not the type of person that went to church once a week, never prayed, never walked with God. He walked with God. That was his testimony. Bride people are going to walk with God every day. Not just on Sunday, not once a month, but every day. Oh my. Notice he says, praying always with all prayer. You see, you can make your life prayer. And prayer, your life. I don't want to just go pray. I want to be prayer. I want to have such a relationship with my God. I don't have to wait for church. I don't have to wait for the closet. I don't have to wait till I get down in my basement somewhere and get by myself. But if I'm pushing a buggy down through Lowe's and I'm getting this and this to fix that and that to fix something else, I can pray between things I'm picking up. Brother Donnie, you're a fanatic. I know it. You're nuts. I know it. I love it. I love it. And before long, my brother, sister, you and I's going to leave this world because the rapture's the gathering of the right nuts. A Christian must pray always because he's constantly under assault. So it's not just for fellowship and for supplication and intercession for others. It is for the divine energy of God to make you keen and sensitive to the onslaught of the enemy. I know many folks, they've so focused on, well, I messed up and God forgive me. I messed up. This is their whole testimony of their life. I messed up and God forgive me. I messed up and God forgive me. I messed up. And this is the entirety of their Christian walk. For 50 years, that's all they got to say. Can't the Holy Ghost who forgives us warn us and keep us from falling into a trap? Or do you just want all your testimony to be, well, I repented, I repented, I repented, I repented, I repented? I don't want to just repent. I want to cut his head off. Notice he says, praying always was all prayer and supplication. Notice how you're to pray, though. In the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance. Only the Spirit's power can be able to pray through us powerfully and prayerfully. Now that don't mean you're jerking all the time. Glory, I feel it all over me. That's your emotion reacting to the Spirit. Do you honestly think the Holy Ghost shouts? Is there one scripture in the Bible Jesus ever danced? Oh my goodness. Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. I better grab all these microphones. Testing 1, 2, 3. The Holy Ghost don't have to have one chill bump. That's for your benefit, not because he needs it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit and watching thereunto, which means keeping on the alert. As many of you know, I'm a hunter. I've hunted all different kinds of animals in the States and different parts of the world. It's amazing when you find every animal that is a hunted species, how that this is inbred in their nature. But you see animals which are not hunted, and you see a different inbreeding in their nature. Now you watch a cow out in the field. Now that cow apparently isn't smart enough to know one day she's going to wind up on your plate at Outback. Medium rare with a baked potato. So you walk out in the field, she just might raise up her head and look at you, and she goes right back to eating again. Why? She's not hunted. But you watch a deer. Now that deer is hunted. From its small infancy, it is instilled in it a wrath. I sat the other day and watched some deer. And I watched them as they would put their head down in the cut for a field where the corn had been, and they would put their head down to eat, and then they'd raise their head back up. Then they go back down and get another bite. Why? They're hunted. They're always watching. They weren't just watching for me. They're watching for coyotes. They're watching for whatever's there. Can you imagine a child of God watching always? Whenever they feed on the Word. When they go to church. When they go grocery shopping. But some of you all are so casual. Whatever. Well, I went to church today. That was a nice social visit. I'll watch next Sunday. You better watch tomorrow. Why? You're a hunted species. Believe me, there is no human being on the earth that is as hunted as you are. So Paul would speak to the elect of the hunted species in his day and say, watch, be careful. I've hunted turkeys, different species of the turkey. I've often said if turkeys could smell, nobody would ever get them. Because just in hearing and seeing them in their eyes, and then the little ones learn from the mama. If any of y'all ever stumbled up on a turkey school in the woods, where the little turkeys is going to homeschool and they're sitting there with a how to be a turkey book. And the mama sent up and I'll tell one thing, this is what you gotta do to be a turkey. First of all, you gotta have long feathers. And you gotta be born of a turkey. And then you've gotta be, they don't have no books, they don't have no curriculum. What they have is a mother example. Now the father, once he goes into the mother, pretty much they make bachelors and live by themselves, and they don't mix around with them a whole lot. So they have their mother to instill this in them. And that old turkey will jerk her head around and back and forth and look. And one little movement, one little thing. Remember, when you're hunting, you're out in her kitchen or her bedroom or her bathroom or her living room. So when something is out there out of the ordinary and she begins to jerk that old head, and that little one will watch the book of mama. And mama done this, and it's going the same way. And mama saw this certain thing, and the little thing takes off running. Lord have mercy, children. We want to teach our children this and that and the other. What about godliness? What about purity? What about honesty? What about integrity? So what did they do? They watch and they look. And they watch. And they watch. And they eat. And they watch.
I don't want to get on you too hard, but some of you all need a good spanking. He says in verse 19, and for me, notice how he says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that entrance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You mean Paul's confidence in his gift was not enough, knowing he was a prophet, an apostle, a preacher? He knew there was a reciprocating part from the people, that the people must pray for him. You don't have to raise your hands, but I do trust this church prays for me. Not just for my safety and for my well-being, but the good, the door, the utterance of the gospel will be constantly open to me as long as God wants me to be your pastor. Oh, Brother Donnie, we just got confidence. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. But I need your prayers. I need your prayer and walking in the Word of God, Brother Dow, that God will guide me and lead me and help me to feed you that nutrients and vitamins you need for a body change. Let me close with this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What man could be used in the scripture? Let me close with this. To say this with more intensity of feeling and recognition of failure. Remember, Jesus comes to them in the Garden of Gethsemane. Cannot you watch with me for 1 hour? But Peter and the rest of the apostles couldn't watch. Now you imagine him being able to share this out of failure. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. You know, a lion roars the most in two instances. To make his boundaries known, and when he's hungry. That's amazing to watch the leopards, the cheetahs, the lions. I've been in the Serengeti, in Tanzania, in Kenya. And you watch the leopards, or the lions, or the cheetahs, whatever more, as they're walking across the plains, when their tail is bent back over their back like this. The gazelle, the Thompson's gazelle, whatever more, they'll be skittish and they'll watch them and they'll flick their little tail back and forth like that. But pretty much they're not even alerted, because the tail of the lion or the leopard or the cheetah bent over his back is a signal to them, I'm not hungry. I'm not hunting. I'm just moving from point A to point B. So they'll watch them and they'll look. And as I said, they'll flick their little tail back and forth and they'll move and they'll snort a little bit. But for the most part, they'll watch. Because the lion or the cheetah or the leopard is letting them know, I'm not hunting today. I ate this morning. I ate yesterday. And they will kind of calm. But let me tell you something. Your enemy never drops his. He's hungry for our young people.
He's hungry for you men. He's hungry for you sisters. He's hungry for preachers. He's got an insatiable appetite that is never satisfied. So we never get off alert. We're constantly looking and watching and praying and reading and listening. And when the Holy Ghost speaks over the pulpit, we accept it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let's stand together. I can imagine that there's every individual that's been saved very long in this building today, and those that have streamed this service and those that will go back and archive it, can look at times in your life when you fail, when you made mistakes, when you done things that was wrong. Not sometimes just wrong, just stupid. Come on, you might as well say it, man. Us Christians just don't do wrong, we do stupid wrong. Why did we do it? We was on alert. Unaware. We was confident. We're okay. I'm fine. It's all right. I'm all right. I've got a hold of this. This pornography ain't got a hold to me. No, this drugs ain't got a hold to me. This marijuana, it's fine. I'm fine with these pain pills. I just need them every now and then. Every 45 minutes. Those of you that have to have pain pills every day of your life, you got to be careful, friend. I thank God for all these things that God has allowed medical science to do, but look at the very thing that medical science has done. The same ones that brings pain relief also causes addiction. I know some of you don't like it, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Receive it. It's a rhema word from God. God does not want your life bound up by narcotics, whether they're legal or illegal. We don't want our kids smoking marijuana. We've got adults around this message that are just as addicted to pain pills. Why? You let down your guard. The devil tricked you. He come by you, and you know what he done? He flicked up that tail. And you looked at him, oh, praise God, I got so much from the word. Hallelujah, I'm fine. Don't you believe that, liar? You can't trust him. Amen. And you can't trust this either. Amen. Some of y'all don't trust the devil, but you trust this. Their blood can. Oh my. Let's bow our heads if you would. I realize we've covered a vast, vast area today. Maybe some of you need help in your prayer walk with God, your prayer life. You see, a rhema life, a rhema Christian life of a child of God covers every aspect of deity and humanity. It remolds the image of Christ into you as a living image of what a Christian really is. Don't dehumanize you. Don't take away the human element. But it empowers you. And it helps you. I don't know about you. I want to be closer to the Lord than I've ever been. I want to pray. Not just in my closet. Not when I'm alone. But I want to have. And I have to watch myself. Because I've done this for so many years. And I realize I have an advantage. I have a lot of time by myself with the Lord. Most of you do not have that. I know that. But I have to watch myself when I'm out in public or even with my kids, my grandkids. I had two of my granddaughters with me a little while back, and I was just talking to the Lord, and one of them said, Poppy, what'd you say? So I was talking to Jesus. So what were you talking to Jesus about? I said, because I talk to Jesus all the time. So I lose contact, I'm sure, with reality. But that's the world that God allows me to live. I love this world. Most of you will never be able to live in that sphere of being alone.
the way that a preacher can. Because you have to work, you got your children, your grandchildren, whatever more to take care of. But I believe God can help you to find that spot that works for you. As I said, maybe your sisters, you may receive a dozen rhemas in your word, out, in your life rather, outside of preaching. Maybe in a lifetime you might receive 100 personally at home, you know, dealing with your kids or your husband or whatever more. You may receive tens of thousands at church. But don't let Satan belittle you because you don't receive them. That's your capacity. And God gives you according to what you need. Why would God want to speak to you as He does to a preacher? And God speaks to some preachers more than He does other preachers. They just have to do what God's called them to do. Just don't let Satan belittle you over that. Well, He don't talk to you like He does so-and-so. No, He doesn't. I don't need it, apparently. God talks to me in the way that I need it. I'm a sufficient Christian. I'm taken care of in everything that I need. But also remember, keep your life open where the Spirit of God can deal with you. He is the one who takes the sword and He places that sword in your lap, in your lips. But you must speak it. You must say it. Maybe some of you today, Satan has marched through the Serengeti of your life. Being there several years ago in the Serengeti, and there's a brother in the message that's actually the game warden of a big portion of the Serengeti Park in Kenya. So I was able to go there with some other brothers and stay where he lives. So they treated us like royalty because they want to be on good side of the game warden. There, the game warden is more like a military officer than he is a game warden here. So these men salute him. They have men that carry guns and all that sort of thing. So we came upon a pride of lions, and there was 25, 30 of them laying there. They'd just eaten the night before, or maybe that morning. They were just all lounged out, not doing anything. Lions, when they're not killing, sleep up to 22 hours a day. So they don't really do anything. But when they do, somebody's going to pay. But your enemy ain't like that. He don't sleep 22 hours a day. As a matter of fact, he don't sleep none. So his demons are assigned to watch you when you get up of a morning. They're so aggravating, they'll even torment you in the night in your dreams. Praise the Lord, is that true? And then he'll try to make you feel bad for a dream that he put into your subconscious. And when you wake up, sometimes before you even get woke up, a phone call will come and something will happen. And here they've started on you another day. Family issues, money issues, problems in the church, whatever more. Constantly ongoing. He wants to wear you out and wear you down and frustrate you. How many needs prayer today from the Lord and help? I do. If you don't, then please pray for me. I want you, if you would, to just take that person by the hand standing by you. Brothers, if it's a sister standing there, you wouldn't feel comfortable doing so, you can move about if you'd like. Or just lay your hand on her shoulder if you would. Now, I want you to think with the depths of sincerity. The person you're laying your hand on may have come here today and made up their mind, I ain't never going to church again. This is my last day. They may be in a terrible strait. They may be at a point to cross a line of some sort. I want you to pray for them with all sincerity. It's not how loud you are. It's not how much volume that you put to it. It's from your heart. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we bring the needs and the request of your children. Father, for this type of prayer, it is one for intercessory value. It is one for standing in the gap, as it were, Lord. As Aaron did so long ago for those that were dying and those that were dead. And Aaron took the censer, which was prayer. And Aaron stood between the living and the dead. And God stopped the plague. The plague of Laodicea blindness, Laodicea coldness, and Laodicea indifference. Lord, it's among our people. It struck the human race. People are losing feeling for one another and feeling for you. Lord, and people even around the message have got cold and indifferent. They're not where they used to be, many of them years ago. Lord, I pray that may I be able to stand here today, Lord, between the living and the dead. Heavenly Father, and intercede on their behalf. May your presence move for your children today, Lord.
those that are present, many, many more will see this service than what's here today. So may you reach out to them, Lord. Lord, maybe some of them were deceived by the devil. He'd been his tail as it was up over his back, and they were convinced they were all right. They never meant to get entangled in pornography. They just clicked on one site. And now it's an habitual thing. Daily they have to have it. A man or woman never intended to get addicted to pain pills, but they failed and hurt their back. Or something happened to them, Lord, and then all of a sudden, they're better really, but their brain is still calling for that stuff. They never meant to do it, Lord. Maybe a man or woman here, Lord, they broke over and smoked the first time or took a drink. They never meant to turn into an alcoholic. They never meant to turn into what they are today. The devil went about as a roaring lion and he's torn apart. Oh God, I pray. May the great Holy Ghost move among us today, Lord. Lord Jesus, would you bring deliverance? Would you bring healing? Would you bring restoration, Lord God? Hallelujah. Lord, for hearts here today, they can be honest and say, I'm not where I was a year ago. I'm not where I was 2 years ago. Father, may they be able to be sincere and just say, Lord Jesus, restore me. Restore me, Lord, as David said so many years ago. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. The prophet said he never lost his salvation, but he lost his joy. Oh, Lamb of God, fighting and wrestling and warring in Laodicea. It's so easy for us to be bogged down, Lord. You know the way the system is at this day, Lord, in order to make a living, brother, people have got to have one degree and then another degree and another degree, and they work and go to school and do this and that. And day by day by day, they never intend to quit praying. They don't intend, Lord, to lose that feeling that they used to have in church. But little by little, their mind is so absorbed in the things of the world. And then before long, they go to church and they feel like they're just a rock, getting nothing, receiving nothing. It's bouncing off of them. They struggle to even stay in service. They struggle, Lord, to even concentrate on the Word. May today be their day of deliverance, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we call upon your name, Lord. We ask you, Father, that you'd visit us, Lord, with your presence. Oh, God, we love the helmet. We love the greaves. We love all the things that's on us. But, Lord God, we approach you through the power of prayer. We use the most powerful weapon that's ever been given to mankind. And I say to these demons that have caused God's people to get cold, I adjure you in the name of Jesus. We are in love with the bridegroom. He is the pillar. Or fire, and he wants us to be on fire. Lukewarmness has no place in our walk. Being cold, being indifferent has no place in our walk with God. Leave us alone, Satan. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We magnify your name, Lord. Let's just raise our hands now. We brought our petitions to him. Now through the channel of prayer and another avenue, let's go by thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for delivering me. Lord, I thank you for moving among our people today. Amen. Amen. We love you, Lord Jesus. Remember, friends, there is deliverance even when you pray for other people. Remember, the Bible says when Job prayed for his friends, that God delivered him. The power of prayer is so powerful that you sometimes praying for somebody that's caused you pain and sorrow, and God will actually deliver you when you pray for them. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Father. Now we've made, Lord, a brief list of our petitions and our desires. Now with a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, to a real child of God, thanksgiving is such an important value. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to let you know today we love you. We don't want to be like a bunch of hogs living under an apple tree and the apples fall off and hit them on the head and they never even raise their head to acknowledge where they come from, Lord. I thank you for breath. I thank you for life. I thank you for peace. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for every trial that comes my way. I thank you, Lord, for the message of the hour. I thank you for a church we can go to and hear the Word of God preached. I thank you for a church that they still believe the power of God can move and the power of God is welcome among us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We adore you, blessed God. We magnify your name. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. We worship you now, Lord. We worship you and we give you praise in advance for these things that we've asked you for we believe they will come to pass according to your will, Father. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Teach us how to fight. Teach us, Lord, to apply our helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. And Lord, teach us to submit to the Spirit of God, can take the sword and put the sword in our mouth. As we read it last night in the book of Revelation, where you will appear and you will slay your enemies with the sword of your mouth. The bride is paralleling that very thing right now. By the rhema words from God, we slay our enemies with the sword from our mouth. But it's amazing, Lord. It's amazing that from the same mouth comes the slaying power of the sword. But out of that same mouth comes sweet utterance of praise and adoration for you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We resolved our fight against you many, many years ago. Our fighting against you no longer. Now it's love and praise. Lord, I want to bring my incense before you of adoration. Oh God, I worship you. Can we just love him a little bit before we go, saints? Hey, let's sing a little something conducive for worship, just in his presence now. In the presence of Jehovah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Nehemiah defeated his enemy by building and watching and praying. He built the wall around Jerusalem, but the enemy was constantly there. So they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. And they were praying while they were doing it. This is your battle, my friends. A trowel in one hand, a sword in the other, and prayer on your lips. This is the way. How often, Brother Donnie, every time you get a chance, even if you're not in need of supplication and intercession, take it for praise and adoration to thank him for all he's done for you.
In the presence of Jehovah God Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Peace. God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King.
Amen. Sing it, church.
In the presence of Jehovah God. Through His love, the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answer in the hour of distress. You know, there's never any reason for you to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe His name. You will surely find Him there in the presence. Place, mighty God.
place.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is only your reasonable service. It's no great, great thing that you've done. It's a reasonable thing. For all He's done for us. Amen. It's been good to be together today. Amen. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, words fail us. I know my vocabulary isn't very great and very big. Our words seem so small to be able to say thank you. But we would feel terrible to leave this place today and not let you know how we feel. I don't understand how I can say the same words that I've said to you for years. From that night as a little boy on Sunday night when you saved me. And I started saying, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you. Here I am, a 60-year-old man. For 48 years, I've been saying those words. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. And somehow or another, you've never got tired of hearing them. So if you're not tired of hearing them, I'm going to keep on saying them until one day I get a language and a vocabulary which will match who you are. But until that time, I'm going to keep on saying it. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I worship you. I praise you. Because I mean it, Lord. Go with us now. May we ruminate as sheep do on these things which we've heard. May we think about it. Teach us how to be better soldiers, how to fight, Lord, to be more like you. Thank you, Father. Go with us now, we ask, Lord God. Bring us back at the appointed time. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
Try and shake hands with somebody. Tell them, God bless you, pilgrim. See you again then next time, God willing.
St. Harry, as we worship together, as we go. God bless you, saints. I'll see you again Wednesday night for those of you that can be with us. Go in the fear of God.
You are God alone from before time began.
Amen.
You are on your throne.
Yes, you are, Lord.
You are God alone.
God alone.
You are unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what you are. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in my good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. Unstoppable. That's who you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's who you are. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on the throne. You are